Good morning. And joining us is Congressman Kevin Hearn. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Tom. It's great to be with you.
It's been an interesting set of weeks here. We've had both conventions rolling through on TV, radio, and everything else. Plus, you were called back a little bit to do a little voting in Washington, D.C. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a wrap-up of what's been going on last couple of weeks? Been pretty busy.
It has. I mean, we've got to see the contrast between the Democrats' platform and the Republicans' platform going forward. And what you saw in the Democrats is they just want to criticize President Trump and what's going on with the country and blame it on him, when it really belongs to the Democrat governors and mayors. And then what we're seeing with the president's offering his help, and that's what he talked about this week, to bring safety and security to these communities, and the governors and mayors have turned him down.
We've got COVID pretty much top of mind here right now. And the president has talked about a possible vaccine, but we're seeing a lot of different things take place here with COVID. Some are seeing increases, some are seeing decreases, and Oklahoma seems to be doing pretty good.
Yeah, they're working hard. I mean, it's going to be hit and miss where this occurs. It's really, schools are back in, and the younger generation they're spreading it, which we knew they would. Obviously, it's not as deadly as it has been to the older generation, the 65 plus, as is described by the CDC. But we've got to be concerned. We've always got to watch and be concerned about what happens when these children come back home, or whether they're at college. It seems to be, from most expert standpoint, that if a college has an outbreak, that they stay at the college, at the university, so that they don't bring it back. But obviously that can't happen with the K-12 students.
A question that I don't know if you heard this or not on Friday and maybe through the weekend, is that the CDC had to reclassify the death numbers. So it's now looking like it's only 6% of all of the inflated numbers. I don't think it's any surprise that many of us believe that those numbers were inflated to begin with. Your thoughts?
Well, Tom, I think we've not seen, with the ability to collect so much data, it's always the statement is, you can get paralysis by analysis, or follow the money. And one of the things for certain is that if you look at hospitals and other medical facilities, they get a 20% additional payout from Medicare if a person dies with a COVID diagnosis. So there's also the side of the hospital that they need the help, because obviously if you're a doctor, you treat the patient differently than if they just came in, say, with congestive heart failure. That's something they know how to deal with. If they come in with congestive heart failure and COVID, they have to use PPE, and that costs the hospital money. So it's a really, it's a tough situation for hospitals. It's a tough situation for the entire country. The thing is that we need to hurry and get a vaccine, which this president has worked hard. He's privatized this with Project Warp Speed, something that's never been done before. Typically, a drug from testing to mass vaccination is 4 to 5 years. We're looking at something like, 8 months to a year.
Now, with things going on with COVID here, the economy has been on a little bit of a roller coaster. Some days you hear some of the greatest news available, considering the time frame, and then it seems like the next day things roll back a little bit. With the uncertainty, I know that there's been talk, but I don't know how productive it has been when it comes to perhaps another form of PPP, or perhaps maybe another one of those checks, I guess, that we got a few months ago to help us get through this. Is there anything progressing between the Republicans and the Democrats in the House on that?
There isn't right now. We're going back on September 14th, and we'll spend 3 weeks in D.C. The issue there is we have to fund the government in addition to trying to get some more help to businesses out there and to the individuals, so that they make sure that their rents are paid and that they're able to keep, food on their table, which is obviously critically important for those that are unemployed and still waiting for their jobs to come back. But here's what we know, and we see right now we have an epic war between President Trump and the head of the Republican Party, and Speaker Pelosi and the head of the Democrat Party. And what Speaker Pelosi has done through using Joe Biden and through using Chuck Schumer is to use the divided America as a weapon to keep anything from happening for the individuals out there. She would rather see businesses, you know, continue to fail, because that's what's going to happen. There's $135 billion of PPP money sitting out there that can't be accessed because it's beyond the July 31st date. So we need to get this done quickly. There's no new monies that would go to the small businesses to keep people employed. And that's when you're starting to see these unemployment numbers sort of tick up. It's because businesses have run out of PPP money from the original take, and now the demand hasn't picked up, so they haven't laid people off. But Speaker Pelosi has got to recognize that we got to defend the police, not defund them. And I know that everybody's going to say, well, yes, so Joe Biden loves the police and he condemns violence. He did that 3 days ago after CNN, Don Lemon, reported that he was losing that battle. And so now all of a sudden, Joe Biden is for taking care of our police officers and in condemning the violence. Why didn't he do that during his DNC convention?
It's an interesting time, I should say, in campaign season.
Well, it is. And we're traveling all over the district and, you know, had a chance to go across the state this past week, just talking to people in small business to gather what we need to be working on as we go back to Washington, D.C. And we're consistently hearing that, you know, please help us keep our people employed and, you know, and keep us safe. And the individuals out there, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or don't care about politics, you want to stay safe. And, you know, I get this statement all the time. How can you have a united America if we don't have a safe America? And I know the Democrats talk about, well, we're going to be a uniter-in-chief, not a divider-in-chief. That's just a lame statement. If you are not providing safety and security for the American citizen, again, regardless of your politics. So the Democrats have got to realize, as they're talking out there, that one thing that penetrates all of the other divisivenesses is the fact that if I'm not safe, I'm not going to be concerned about some of the other things going on. So you got to keep me safe. And fortunately for us here in the state, with the Republican governor and the Republican mayors and what's happening like in Bartlesville, we have a lot of people who love our police officers and condemn the violence. And that's why you haven't seen the violence here. Where you've seen the violence across America is our Democrat governors and Democrat mayors. And that's not coincidental. That's part of the narrative that Speaker Pelosi is trying to do, is keep America divided so that the Democrats can blame President Trump so they can win in November.
Mm. Well, I've only been on this rock about 60 years or so, but I've always found that peace and prosperity are two pretty good promises when it comes to running for office.
Well, it is. And most Americans don't give two hoots about politics. And unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, we get to go to Washington, D.C. and represent the interests and points of view. And for me, a person who just absolutely detests the politics inside the Beltway, it's a pretty simple equation, just as you said. Keep the peace, let the nation grow, the prosperity, the free market ideas, free enterprise ideas, capitalist ideas, and allow people to get a job so they can get a better job and get a career. That's a simple equation, and all this divisiveness that we're seeing across the country is nothing more than a political stunt for a lot of people. There are a lot of peaceful protests going on that are co-opted by a lot of groups just so they can, and many have been paid for by outsiders so that they can keep the divisiveness going on and keep it on TV to continue to accuse President Trump of creating it.
A little bit on the upbeat. Recently, you were here in Bartlesville, but you've been all over the district when you've had the chance to be home. Some of the places you've been, some of the people you've talked to, once again, you said, you know, safety, security, and the ability to get back to work were some of the key things. Are you hearing anything else?
Well, I think if you look at what's going on, people are just saying, when do you think this is going to be over? When are we going to get a vaccination? What do we see? What's happening with China? Are we going to be able to get our manufacturing jobs from China back to the United States? It's overwhelming whether you're, again, what regardless of party, you want to bring some of these jobs back, and the president's working on tax credits to make that happen right now. Obviously, nothing will happen before the November 3rd election, but it's something we really have to look at. We have an opportunity to bring those manufacturing jobs back to North America and to be able to bring jobs back to countries like our biggest trading partners, which are Mexico and Canada, we know they want to work with us, not against us. We know they don't want to take us over, conquer us like China does. And so right now we've got to be concerned about that. They're also concerned about what they're seeing with military issues around the world, with whatever's happening in China, the South China Sea with the Chinese Navy. Now we hear the Russian Navy is doing some of their biggest exercises in, since World War II that we've seen around our country. They're now doing that up around Alaska and our Northwest frontier, if you will. And so we've got to be concerned about this in our traditional warfare, our Mideast type warfare, and also our cybersecurity warfare. So people are concerned, again, it's about safety and security of our nation and of them as individuals.
We're talking with Congressman Kevin Hearn right here on Community Connection. And in closing, sir, anything you'd like to tell everybody here in Bartlesville and the surrounding area?
I do. I want to tell everyone to not give up on the hope of the American dream. I still think that it is going to be protected. It's going to be protected by those of us who lived it, and it's an opportunity for all. We should never keep anyone out of that. We should work together to be united. But as I said, you cannot be united if you're not safe and secure. And so we all have to work together. We have to continue to take care and praise our police and our law enforcement for what they do to keep us that way. And then work in the community, work alongside each other to help move this country forward. But I really appreciate everything you're doing, Tom, and getting messages out in the northern part of Oklahoma. So thank you so much.
And thank you, Congressman Hearn. Really appreciate you speaking with us, and good luck to you.